If you would, be opening your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. We'll find our text for our lesson this morning there in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. I'd like to thank everybody who's here this morning worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is there anything that we would rather be doing on the Lord's Day than here with those of like precious faith studying from His Word? And I'm just so thankful and grateful for this opportunity and thankful for this congregation for giving myself and the others who spoke this morning and throughout this weekend the opportunities that we have been granted. And I do want to throw this out there just as a little disclaimer. I am the only one preaching this hour, and a lot of people might be thinking that, you know, oh, good, it might be 15, 20 minutes. I'm from Blue Springs, Missouri, where Brett Hoagland preaches. So, you know, I've been trained by Brett Hoagland, and my son this morning, he goes, Dad, is it going to be 10 minutes or 10 hours? I said, well, we'll see, buddy. He goes, I hope it's 10 minutes. So, but as we study God's Word this morning, what I want us to think about, and I want to get personal today. I want everybody, each and individual here this morning, to look at themselves and think about their faith. I want you to think about your faith. And why you believe what you believe. Because as we're going to see here this morning, there is an importance to not only having your faith, but then taking that faith and developing it. And I'm not talking about from a denominational point of view, where we see them saying, you can have your faith, and you can have your faith, you can have your faith. No, there is one faith, the faith, that we are all to follow. But I want you to look at why you believe what you believe. And I believe this story that we see here in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, is going to show us the importance of developing one's faith. In 2 Chronicles 24, verse 2, we read, Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So you have King Joash. And here in verse 2, he's doing what was right in the sight of the Lord all of the days of Jehoiada the priest. And then we skip ahead to verse 17. It says, now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king. And the king of Israel listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God their Israel and served wooden images and idols. And the wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. What I want us to recognize this morning and think about is why did Joash allow Israel to turn away? Why did Joash allow Israel to turn away from the faith that we see them having in verse 2 to now serving wooden images? And what we're going to see here is that his faith was weak. And I believe as we read through this story, we can take some application and we can see why. And the story gives some warnings of what we need to avoid as Christians, in order to continue to have a strong faith, lest we fall. The first point we see is that our faith cannot be dependent on others. Joash was faithful and did what was right in the sight of the Lord in the days of Jehoiada the priest. But the moment that Jehoiada was taken away from him, the moment that he passed away, and all men are appointed to die, so this is going to happen, he fell away. He started to get approached by those leaders of Israel, of Judah. They started to approach him, and he showed his true faith. Now, it would make sense that Joash would respect Jehoiada. Jehoiada is the one who helped establish him and put him on the throne at such a young age. And he was there his days. And so he is going to look up to him. But here's where he failed. His problem was the fact that he, Joash, submitted to Jehoiada and not to God. See, Jehoiada was submitting to God. Joash was submitting to Jehoiada, doing what the Lord was commanding them to do. And the moment that that was taken away, he falls. And they fall into apostasy. So we need to take some lessons from this. And I especially right now want to talk to young people. If you are a young person, hear me this morning. Hear the warning of God this morning. Your faith cannot be dependent on your parents. Your faith cannot be dependent on your grandparents. Your faith cannot be dependent on your grandma, your grandpa, your aunt, your uncle, your friends. Because at some point in time, they are going to pass from this life. Or it could be at some point in time, you're left alone in a situation and they're not right there to guide you, to lead you, to protect you. Think about it, young people. Whenever you get old enough and you are on your own, you're able to drive and you're out with your friends in high school. And somebody approaches you and says, hey, you know what? Let's go over to this individual's house. Like, what's going on? Oh, there's some people there, you know. They're just having a good time. And you go over there, and there's alcohol involved. What is going to keep you from participating in that act? What is going to keep you from going over there in the first place? It can't be your parents' faith. Yes, your parents are to train you up, and we'll get into that in a minute. But you have to believe that partaking of that is wrong. Because let's say your parents aren't around, you're off at school a long way away, and you're there in that situation. If you don't believe it's wrong, you're going to fall into that sin. Just like Joash did. He didn't see anything wrong with worshiping idols. If he would have stopped. But he didn't. He fell into that. You can think the same thing, young people, not just drinking and those kind of things, but fornication. Young ladies, you get around a really good-looking guy, and he starts coming on to you. What is going to keep you from crossing that line? What is going to keep you from committing that act? If it's just because mommy and daddy say so, eventually you're going to fall into that sin. You have to believe that it's wrong, not just because your mom and dad say so. And along with that, parents, we need to take heed to this as well. That it can't just be that we bring our child here, send them down in a pew, send them off to Bible class, and think that they are going to establish their faith through osmosis of being here. We are to train our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have to establish that faith inside of them. Not just that it's our faith and because we believe it, you need to believe it. It's because it's right. It's because it's truth. That's why you believe it. And then to all, we cannot rely just on the preacher and the elders to be the one to have that faith. We have to have that faith ourselves. We have to take the words that are taught, the words that are preached here, that are taught in all the Bible classes, and we are to search them out daily. We need to believe because we have investigated the Scriptures and discovered the truth for ourselves. Not just because the group of people that I meet with believes it, but because it's truth. You think about whenever you get in moments alone, whenever we're not here in this assembly. It is really easy here in this assembly to say amen, to agree with everything that's going on. But the moment you get out there in the world and somebody approaches you at work, or somebody approaches you at school, or somebody maybe just approaches you on the street corner when you're having a coffee in the cafe, you need to be able to tell them why you believe what you believe. And not just because this group around us. You need to be able to take that stand on your own. We see this exemplified with Peter. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 33 through 35, what does Peter tell Jesus? I'm not going to fall. I'm going to take a stand for you, Lord. I will go to war for you. Jesus says, no, you won't. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. Your faith is not that grounded. It's not that strong. And we see a little bit later in the chapter, verses 69 through 74, Peter denies Christ three times. In Luke's account, I think about this, how vivid this is in Luke's account of this, where he says on the third time, after Peter denied him, the Lord looked at him. we need to take heed lest we fall. Our faith can't be on our grandma, our grandpa, or our mom, or our dad. It's not dependent on them. Our faith is, and we believe what we believe, because we have investigated it, and we believe that it's truth. This is what God's Word says. It's not just because that's what my mommy and daddy told me. It's not just because that's what the group of people Southside, here at 84th Street in Oklahoma told me. It's because that's what I believe. We need to take heed to this, lest we fall. And we must not be dependent on others. Secondly, our faith cannot be shallow. Joash's faith appears to be about as deep as God exists, but no deeper. He believed in God. If he didn't, whenever Jehoiada was alive, he wouldn't have listened to Jehoiada. He apparently believed in that there is God and that there is a God. But you know, we're told in James chapter 2, verse 19, that even the demons believe. Even the demons believe that there is a God. But do they believe in God? If that's as deep as our faith is, that we believe that God exists, that God is, and that we're like all of those denominations that are out there, and those people that we see in denominations, well, that's about as deep as their faith is. And sadly, there can be those in the Church of Christ that are like that as well. We make ourselves susceptible to Satan and those of the world. In this account in 2 Chronicles, we see the leaders come and bow down to Joash after the death of Jehoiada. And they quickly and easily convinced him to start worshiping idols, bring back idol worship, bring back these wooden images, and he had no root in his faith, no ground to stand on to keep that from happening. And what happened? Those idols, those images, they were brought back. Joash didn't have that deep of a faith. It was not grounded. It was shallow. He was not steadfast, as we see Paul telling the Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 5. This reminds us of Matthew chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, with the parable of the sower. And I don't want to go through all the different seeds. I want to go through one in particular. The one that it reminds me of is the second seed, the one that was cast on the stony ground. This seed was cast, and it immediately sprung forth. Had a little bit of a root, took and sprung forth, but very quickly was withered away. Why is that? Why was this seed quickly withered away? Well, what we see and what we recognize is the fact that that seed and that type of ground, that type of soil that it landed on, was about that deep. Enough to make something spring forth, but not deep enough for those roots to grow and become strong. We cannot have this be our faith. That's the point of the parable, is your faith can't be like this, and like this, because you will fall. You have to have the good soil. You have to have the good heart. Sadly, though, we see some today, just like we do with Jehoiada, that is about as deep as their faith is. Again, they believe that God is and no more. And they struggle to stand against opposition. Sometimes they fall and completely go into sin. Other times, they just might not be able to give a defense. We see in 1 Peter 3:15 that we are to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in us. Sometimes our faith isn't deep. We aren't ready to stand and give that defense. It might not be that we completely fall. We might sit here and say, well, it's in the Bible somewhere, you know, which is good that we've heard it and we know it's in the Bible. But think about the impact that you've just had on that individual that asked you why you believed in whatever it is they're asking you about. I have a personal story or example on this one that really hits home. You guys probably don't know my background, but I'm from the Mormon church. And so I was converted out. About a few years after I was converted out, I was in the car with my mom. And my mom was just asking me about some things in the subject of instrument and music I brought up. And she asked me why we don't have instruments. And all I could tell her was, it's not right. I mean, it's in the Bible, so it's not right. That was all the explanation that I could give my mom. You talk about somebody that I want to convert more than anybody in this world, it'd be my mother and my father. And that right there, having a shallow faith, not one that was digging in the Scripture and finding and proving to myself, this is where it says it is wrong, hurt my impact on my mom and my ability to convert her. Now, I still pray to God that one day something would happen, that we would have conversations where those things can happen. My parents would be converted. But it shook me. And I started questioning, well, why do I believe what I believe? But then with my mom, she doesn't even, it hurt the impact that I would have on her. And this is what I'm talking about with the shallow faith. Yes, it could cause you to fall away, and that is extremely important, but it could also hurt your impact on influence to convert the ones that you love. So many people have somebody that they're close to, whether it is a relative or a family, a relative or a friend, somebody that they love, somebody they care about, and they get pressed and they get asked, and they might not fall away. They lose the impact that they could have had and lost that opportunity they had to be able to convert that individual. Our faith cannot be shallow. Our faith must be rooted. We must be like the Bereans that we see in Acts 17, 10 through 11, who searched the Scriptures daily to find out if the things that were being taught were true. They didn't just believe it because somebody told them. They believed it because they searched it and they found out for themselves that it was true. That's the kind of faith that we're to have. A lot of times we compare ourselves to the world, thinking that we're better than them. We show up to church more than them. You know, and because of that, we'll know more. And then they'll come and they'll start asking you questions about baptism, about creation, about abortion, about all these different issues, homosexuality that are out in the world. And we lose our impact and influence because we can't give them a reason why we believe what we believe. Well, I don't know. I went to church and I heard it. You might not say it in that way, but that's exactly how they're taking it. It doesn't mean that much to you. So therefore, why should it mean anything to me? Why should I take heed to it? Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. We need to engulf ourselves. We need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, daily, reading and searching and adding to our faith. So many of us probably know an example of someone who has fallen away. Somebody who has appeared to be faithful, they might even preach a sermon, led a class, led the Lord's Supper, sang songs, led prayers, led Bible classes, whatever the case may be. And then one day they fall away and we're flabbergasted. We're like, what happened? Their faith wasn't deep. Their faith was shallow. Because if their faith was deep, if they had the roots that you are to have, deeply grounded in God, they would still be here standing strong. But as a result, they have fallen away. No, we need to investigate the Scriptures and discover the truth for ourselves and understand the importance of developing a deeply rooted faith. So what are we to conclude from this account with Joash and Jehoiada and this idea of developing, growing our faith? We are to conclude that we must develop and grow our faith, and it must be real. It can't be fabricated. It can't be fake. It has to be real to each and every one of us. This week we've read through and studied Hebrews, and we see in chapter 11 all these great men of faith. And we look at them like, man, wouldn't it be great to be able to be like them? You know what? They are and were the way that they were. They lived by faith. And it wasn't somebody else's faith. It was their faith in God. And you can see it through every single one of their accounts. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Why are you not ashamed of the gospel? Because the just shall live by faith and by their faith. Because of that, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the truth. I'm not ashamed of the things He stands for, because it is right. And I believe it. We don't live by anything else. By our own athletic abilities or our own academics. So many times we get caught up in, this is what I'm good at, and so that's what I'm going to exemplify. That's what I'm going to use to uplift me as an individual here on this earth. Understand that, yes, God has blessed you with those abilities, but He doesn't care about those abilities. He wants you to believe in Him and to stand for Him. Not living by anything else that He's blessed you with, but living by faith in Him. We need to take this heed, how important it is to developing our faith, lest we fall. Hebrews 11, verse 6. In this chapter, it's talking about all these men of great faith. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those diligently seek Him. This morning, Braden Schlabel talked about our adversary. In fact, the devil is there. He's walking about like a roaring lion, and he is coming after us. And Braden pointed out the fact that he's coming after those who are strong in the Lord. And Braden, I don't know what you said this morning, but my 6-year-old son started crying. Scared to death of something that you said. And I was trying to console him and calm him down. And he just goes, I'm scared of the devil and all this. And I was like, what's wrong? I'm scared to go to heaven. And I had to stop right there. And I had to say, Easton, do you believe that God is? Do you have faith in God? And do you, not just that, but do you believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? Yeah, I do. Then, son, we have absolutely nothing to fear. Because God will protect those who diligently seek Him, diligently go after Him. We need to understand that our adversary is coming after us. We need to understand that, as Jim talked about this morning, that we need to have that humility as Christ had. And we need to understand that it can't be of ourselves, but it is God who will protect us and take care of us. We need to understand, as Garrett talked about, with the Ethiopian eunuch, that nothing is hindering us from doing this, from putting our faith in God and trusting Him, obeying His will and His commands. And then, as Kyle talked about, that our faith, coupled with the obedience of the gospel, we can achieve the victory, and the victory that is only found in Christ. We can achieve victory over death. One of the things that we need to realize about heaven, this is one of the things I had to tell my son this morning, is that God will be there. It's the greatest thing about heaven. And the worst thing about hell is that God won't be there. Not the greatest thing, the worst thing. Apologize. The worst thing about hell is that God won't be there. We need to understand this. And we need to think deeply and personally on ourselves and on our faith and on our salvation. And as we think about these things this morning, I want to ask those in the audience, have you obeyed the gospel call? Have you been obedient to the things that God has asked us to be obedient to? Have you taken on the waters of baptism through the blood of Jesus Christ, removing the sins from your life? If you haven't done that, I urge you to think about that before you leave here this morning. So we have no promise of tomorrow. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says that the Lord, day of the Lord will come as the thief in the night. He can return in an hour. He can return in 10 years. We don't know. We also don't know when our death may come upon us, when we might pass from this life. Don't waste another moment. Think about the seriousness of your faith in your salvation this morning. If you have done that, you have taken on the waters of baptism, but you have fallen away. Your faith was in somebody else, was dependent on somebody else. Your faith was shallow. Maybe that's something you can make right with the Lord right now in your chair. Maybe you need to come forward and ask for the prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need is, we ask you to put